This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Good Wednesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan, October 9th, 2024. We're giving away tickets to a Caps game on the 17th, next Thursday night at 4 o'clock here on the Fan. And we got two great guests to tell you about in just a moment. Danny, how are you?
This is not a good day for me. So it all started. We usually wake up in the Hooray household. My wife gets up earlier than I do, but usually around 7, 7:15, either one of the kids wakes us up or I wake up. We get them going, get them off to school, etc. By the grace of God, I have no idea how she did this or thought to do this, but at 8:30, my wife called me, and I was dead asleep. So were my children. She called, some sort of like lightning strike maternal instinct, this idiot screwing up. I don't know what spidey sense was tingling. But she called and was like, hello? And I'm like, hi? What?
Guy.
And she's like, I just want to make sure you're up. I was
what
like, I am
doing?
Down. I have no idea.
Your kids were supposed to go to school?
Yeah, I mean, we leave for school. I walk them to school at 8:40. So at 8:30, I got the phone call to wake up.
But if she didn't call?
Would have been asleep.
All you guys are just having a sleeping day together?
Would have been just a big old siesta. I guess we're missing first period. What's doubly awesome is I had a meeting at that school at 8:45 a.m. Everything is not coming up for me today. I mean, I have been behind since.
Were you on time for the meeting?
We made the meeting somehow. My oldest is able, because he's old enough, he's able to like independently, he's like, don't worry, I'll get ready for school by myself. I sprinted my youngest through breakfast. He's like got a fig bar in one hand, a vitamin in the other. You know, his sweatshirt's half on. I'm carrying him to the car.
No chance you showered.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? So I get there for the meeting. He's got to like wait outside the door, but it's like, well, if there's a safer place on the planet, you know, we'll do that while I go into this meeting. It's come out just the time to see him off. But I've been behind and just off all day today.
Everything's been wrong. I have to shower when I wake up.
I know you do.
I cannot function without a shower. You have coffee, I have a shower. So mm-hmm. that meeting would have to wait. Sorry. I'm going to be a few minutes late. That's tough. The wife won Danny zero today.
I mean, what a unbelievable save. How would she have known? Like, the last time she called me in the morning from work was like, hey, I need, you know, I'm filling out like paperwork in case we die. You know, like, what's your date of birth?
What was the reason? Did she say why she was calling?
It was all too frantic. I'm going, oh, okay, oh my God, at the time. And I hung up and said, love you, bye. And she's like, okay, bye. Like, going back to work, no idea how or why it happened. But I'm telling you, I have been just discombobulated, very behind. To me, if the show started an hour from now, I'd probably feel a little bit better.
Well,
but we're here. We got to talk.
Yeah. Happy to have you.
Mm-hmm.
Glad that you're alongside, as always, here on Grant and Danny. Will Montgomery studied the offensive line play of the Commanders for us. He's going to give us a report at 3 o'clock of what he saw. He, of course, was the longtime starting center here in D.C., played at Virginia Tech, was in the National Football League for a decade. Looking forward to that report for us from Will Montgomery. Because anecdotally, Danny, it feels like the O-line's been really good.
Yep.
And I would even say statistically as well, right? Statistically, the O-line's been very good. They are top 10 in every metric, just about. Pass rush win rate, run block win rate, the PFF scores and grading on pass blocking and run blocking. They're top 5 in plenty of categories. And I'm not naive enough to think that Jaden Daniels does not help the offensive line immensely. I certainly understand that that's the case. But I also think there's a reality, too, where when you have a mobile quarterback, and let's face it, he leads the league in scrambles, a running quarterback. I remember when Will played that at times that also made the O-line's job difficult on some plays because you're moving around in the pocket. You're supposed to be 5 right. And planting, and you're 5 and kind of moving or running or sprinting. So I want to talk to him about that. I think it'll be good perspective. He blocked for Robert Griffin when Griffin was putting up very similar numbers as a rusher and as a passer in the early part of his career here in D.C. And then I'm really fired up to tell you guys that at 6 o'clock today, Steve Mariucci's on the show.
Nice.
I love Steve Mariucci.
We're Mooch guys on the show.
I don't know when or why I became such a big Mariucci fan, but when he was coaching the Niners, something about that team I loved. Jeff Garcia at quarterback, Terrell Owens at wide receiver, and he would go on to become a gigantic silly goose. But do you remember when T.O. caught that? I want to say it was like a game-winning touchdown in a playoff.
Against Green Bay?
Yeah, Steve Young against the Packers. For whatever reason, that's one of my most strong, vivid memories of my childhood non-Redskins.
Just
division.
A small window to fit it in. He got crunched between at least a couple of dudes, maybe three, who knows. He dropped a pass or two earlier on in that game, and that was kind of that. That was the, I don't know if there's a good analogy, because they're not divisional foes, obviously, but that was the playoff rivalry. That's like kind of that the now Bengals Chiefs, how totally. They kind of smack talk each other. We'll see you in January.
Brett Favre, Steve Young. Yeah. It was a couple of future Hall of Fame legend types at quarterback. But anyway, I'm just a Mariucci guy, so we've not really had him on the show before. So we'll talk to him when he joins us today on Grant and Danny at 6 o'clock. So make note of that. But we are on to Baltimore, my friend. We are getting ready for Sunday. We are getting ready for the Ravens. It's a 1 o'clock kick. It's the A-team on CBS, Nance and Romo, and there's a hype video making the rounds that's pretty awesome on social media. But just file another one away. We are in week 6 hype video mode. Somebody put together one of these, set to music, dramatic, player beating up with sweat, slow motion, 5K camera shot, hype videos for Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson, the Ravens who can thump, the Commanders who want to bop you. It's going to be the game that everybody is paying attention to around the country.
Yeah, it's marquee, and we're not used to that, right? Usually, people are paying attention here in Washington from outside because of the latest scandal, the latest kerfuffle, and you're tuning in, you go, a live train wreck at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tune in, and you're going to see, oh, my God, what is this going to be? What's the latest scandal? What's the latest whatever? It is such a far departure from that to not only just be okay, right, to just be normal. Teams win or lose every week in this league. And that's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about a team that's, legitimately good, and we're going to find out how good to a degree this weekend, right?
I believe in the idea of the measuring stick element of this game. I saw Dan Quinn was asked, is this a measuring stick game today? And he basically said, we don't really talk in those terms. We know they're good. We think we're pretty good. But he didn't want to call it a measuring stick game. I do think this is that. I think this is are we ready for the bright lights? Are we ready for big boy football with everybody watching against a team that has a chance to go compete for a conference title in Baltimore? But I also, at the same time, think this is a win-win for Washington, to be completely honest. Barring a blowout loss, barring a terrible Jaden Daniels performance, and there's no reason to believe, based on anything we've seen, and I don't even just mean this season, Danny, but camp, really, since the moment he was drafted, that that's coming this weekend. I don't think anything can happen that would make me feel down on this operation early next week. That's why I kind of feel like it's a win-win. I don't know if you guys agree with me on this. Maybe we can open up the phones early at 800-636-1067. I think if the Commanders win, we're talking about Daniels as an MVP candidate, Washington as a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl. You know, and all of this stuff can change, but just through 6 weeks, that's the conversation. Whereas, if they lose, it's kind of a so-what spot for me. Like, oh, okay, so they didn't beat the Ravens in Baltimore, so they didn't win a fifth straight game. Now they're only 4-2 in leading the NFC East. Assuming they compete and they're in the game for most of four quarters, I don't really see a path to me feeling like this is revealing that they're not that good. So that's why I'm viewing it as almost a win-win. If they win, there's so much to be gained. If they lose, they're supposed to, and so what?
Yeah, I'll even go further than that. Now, maybe the emotions on Sunday will have me feeling slightly different. But if they get blown out, Baltimore's, I think it's 21-1 with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson playing against the NFC. 21-1. A lot of those wins are ridiculous, are woodshed wins, right? Now, I think a lot of that is teams don't see them near as often, and it's harder to prepare.
Say, that's a weird stat. I wonder, to me, that, like, why do you think that is? I don't view that as
multiple reasons. One, revealing. They're good, generally. Two, so they win a lot of games, maybe not 97%
of
their games.
Their winning percentage over that time would probably be, and I'm just making this up, but like 14-8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. So
why are they so much better against the NFC?
And I think they play differently than everybody else, or they have in a lot of ways, right? So, you know, maybe NFC teams don't see him, but once every couple of years, something like that, more difficult to prepare for. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall. But you do something 21-1. That's a trend that's worth monitoring, right, coming into this weekend. So I think a part of that, I'm going, if they get blown out, I'm not even going to say same old, same old. I'm not going to say, okay, it wasn't even as good as we thought, because it is as good as we think. This could be their lay the egg game. Everybody has one, all except for Kansas City and Minnesota. But every team that we think of is good, like Houston, is legit. They lost by 27 to Minnesota. They got destroyed in their big game against a good team. Right, everybody's got, nobody in the league right now is so dominant that 1 week is going to be a referendum, at least for me, from my perspective.
Well, here's where I'm going to disagree with that. I think you get that kind of loss if you're the Texans, and we dismiss it as, it happens, it was a dud, it was your lay the egg game. Whereas if you're Washington and you're playing up a weight class, which is what they're doing, the thought is not, oh, they had a bad night. The thought is they don't really belong just yet.
Which I think is probably true, because there's no track record here.
Exactly.
But I guess for me, winning this game is validating. And what I mean by that is it's less measuring stick, because fluky crap happens each week. I mean, look at Arizona beating San Francisco this past weekend after not looking like they belonged in the NFL the week before against Washington. This is more of a, okay, you put in these unbelievable efforts the last 3 weeks, right? It's going well. How much of it is, okay, this is real and not just the nice 3 weeks? How much of this is, no, these guys are for real, these guys are good, and it's not just they caught Cleveland at the exact right time, Arizona was trying to prove something by keeping Kyler Murray in the pocket, and Cincinnati, if they make a field goal, probably beat you in overtime the way they could have done this past week to Baltimore. It changes the narrative a little bit. But if you win, it's going, yeah, this avalanche going downhill, this boulder is real. Right? This is a group that absolutely belongs. So in that sense, it is a measuring stick.
But I think it makes them dangerous that they can gain a lot and can't really lose much. It is a nothing to lose spot, essentially, for Washington. It is a free and easy, let's go see what happens, where you are the biggest underdog you've been all season, you know, based on odds going into a game. The national expectation is Baltimore is going to beat you. I don't quite think the same way I did about the Bengals game going in, for the record, but if you remember when they played Cincinnati, my thought was, the Bengals are not as good as everybody thinks. I didn't think they'd be 1-4 right now. But similarly with the Ravens are still being talked about as if they are an AFC championship-type team, and they have not really looked like that at any point. They've had a couple of good games, some halves here or there that were interesting or good, but Danny, they could easily be 2-3 right now. So I don't view this as a game that Washington can't win. I don't view this as a game where they're going to get bullied. I don't think the line should be as big as it is. I think it should probably be 4.5 or 5 points, not 6.5 or 7, in my opinion. But I guess we'll find out on Sunday if they can stand toe-to-toe and exchange blows with Baltimore. I think both teams are going to have success when they've got the football and score points. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Someone in the 30s is going to win. Someone in the upper 20s is going to lose. That's kind of the script I'm looking at. But I think what excites me is they have put so much hay already in the barn. I'll use my Eddie Jordan reference. They have harvested so many nuts that at 4-1 with 4 in a row, it's all gravy. As long as you show up and acquit yourself like you belong, win or lose, you're 4-2 coming back here. I think the Panthers shortly thereafter, and it's back on. And at that point, now that's the measuring stick game to me to make sure you don't play down to an opponent. That's when we find out for sure that it's different and you're going to handle the teams you're supposed to handle, because that's what's going to separate, you know, the 8 wins and the 11 or so wins at the end of this year. Is are you going to pummel teams like Carolina when you play?
Can you take advantage of Carolina, Chicago, and at New York right after this week?
You should win 2 of those 3 games, and one of them's got to be Carolina at home to me. Like if you split with the Giants and the Bears, Bears have a great defense. Giants are a division foe. You know it'll be close. And they've actually played pretty well, starting with the game against Washington where they almost beat them here.
They've been competitive.
So I don't need you to win all 3 of those. I think that's probably unrealistic. But if you win 2 of those 3, at that point you're 2-2 in your next 4, and you've gotten to 6-2 through 8. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yep.
So I need them to look presentable in front of the public that is showing up to watch us.
Yeah, do you belong in this game?
I got friends coming over to the house. Kids, I need you to put on a nice outfit and let's pretend that, you know, we're not crazy for a couple of hours.
But nobody picked their nose in front of other people for like 45 minutes, at least the first 45, while everyone's here and we're all socializing.
But you agree with my premise then, and I want to hit the phones on this in a second. 800-636-1067, because it sounds kind of like loser talk in advance. It sounds like I'm preparing to lose and justifying it, and I promise it's not really that. I just don't view this, even if they lose, as a big problem. I think it's if they win, it's amazing, kind of house money game. And by the way, this is a bigger picture point that people won't like. I already kind of view this as a house money season.
That's right. I literally put my finger up to be like, Grant, I'm going to say something, and that's what I was going to say. That's it, what you just said. This like, they're so much better right now than I thought they would be. Like, I thought we were going to go, maybe we eke out that 7th win because Jaden Daniels has a Griffin against Minnesota Vikings scramble against somebody, and it's, you know, blood, sweat, and, you know, getting moisture from a stone to get to 7. They're so much better. They've already turned in better homework and shown mastery of the subject. Like, they're taking a 500-level course, and I'm sitting here going, well, we're in elementary school. We're 101.
The projected win total started?
6.5, right?
You know where it is right now?
4.
No.
Sorry. The win total?
Yes.
I don't.
9.5.
9.5.
Already a month into the season, climbed 3 games.
Yeah.
Most by any team so far, obviously.
Right.
I mean, Minnesota's, I'm sure, has jumped pretty sizably, too. Might be right there with them.
And so you don't apologize for having success. I mean, the same way in 2020, we're going, hey, this team isn't that good, but the division's so terrible, might as well win it. You know what I mean? You could apologize for winning these games, but I'm not going to do that. So here we are. They're ahead of schedule. I know they refuse to use words like rebuild, and they got to find north and recalibrate north and arrive violently when they go north. You and me, the outside looking in, can be like, yeah, you turn over 70% of the roster. Everything is new. Staff, players, you know, redoing facilities and everything on the fly. They're trying to make themselves a legit NFL org. There's no way. There's no way if you give everyone truth serum in that building, you can be 4-1 with a chance to go 5-1. And being the talk of the NFL, are you going to be the best? Are you potentially the best team in the league through 5 weeks? Is that you guys? They'd go, probably not. That's probably a little bit of an overshoot.
There's not a single person in that building that thought they'd be 4-1 with the number one offense in the NFL right now. I refuse to believe that. They couldn't have.
Right. How could you? And how could you?
I think they probably would have done a couple things differently and been a little more aggressive in trying to go add pieces if that they thought they were that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys agree with the premise, though, that this weekend, while a lot can be gained if they win, is a spot where Washington, even in a loss, assuming they play okay, comes out not really having taken a step back? Like, this is a house money game you can only really benefit from. Or do you not like that idea about this matchup? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Will Montgomery on the O-line play at 3, and those Caps tickets were given away at 4 on G&D.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
October's about as good a time in sports as there is. Last night I was watching the Major League Baseball playoffs, which have been fascinating. The Padres and the Dodgers right now might be the best rivalry in all of sports.
It's good.
And my argument would be there's more guys on each side of that rivalry that hate players on the other team for Padres-Dodgers than in almost any other situation in pro sports. Legitimately, that don't like each other. Like, you could see them getting into it. They really just actively loathe the other team.
It's a West Coast version of Yankees-Red Sox a long time ago. Before the Red Sox basically became the thing that they despise, the Yankees, the overdogs, the high payroll, the pretend fans with pink hats from all across the country inventing associations for Boston, San Diego's never done it. San Diego's always been sunned. They're always the little brother. It's even when they've had really good teams. The one time they got to the World Series, they got squeezed at Yankee Stadium right before Tino Martinez homered to change the whole series. They've never, despite hype and promise that this is different, it's never been. But it's not one of the cool cities where everybody waxes poetic about from the sports writer perspective, so nobody appreciates it. But they've never done it against L.A., and L.A. is the ultimate overdog. Always. Their own television network, their own billions from parking. You know what I mean? Like, that's the mega market, and San Diego's the little engine that could.
within the playoffs in baseball. The NHL got started last night. Had our first game in Utah. That was awesome theater and television. I enjoyed. In basketball, we had the Wizards open their preseason. Alex Saar looked much better than he did in the summer league. You see him offensively?
Yes.
Hit some shots, knocked down some threes. They play again tonight.
People were not to say freaking out, but freaking out a little bit about the fact that they didn't score very well in the summer. I understand that.
Because I don't think it was the lack of scoring. I think it was the inability to make a shot.
Fair enough.
People worried.
Yeah.
Which are not necessarily the same thing.
Right, the 0-for-15s. And I'm just going, athletically, watch him move around. This is not Johnny Davis, who can't get a shot off in the summer league, right? This is not a guy that you go, oh my God, this dude can't play. This is a kid who's probably a little bit overwhelmed, but the way he moves around, I'll still take my chances. So that was good to see. That was nice for him.
But it's fun right now as a sports fan, and a big part of it in town is the Commanders. So we're getting ready for the Ravens. They play on Sunday at 1. Everybody's going to be watching, and if they win, they'll be 5-1, and they may very well be at the top of some power rankings, pending other results. If they've won 5 in a row with a quality win at Baltimore and the number one offense in the NFL, we're going to be talking about them through the lens of best team in football discussions. And no matter what you want to say, it's on the table if they beat the Ravens. All of it subject to change as we get deeper into the season.
Sure.
But if you want to say they're a Super Bowl contender, do it. That their quarterback should be the MVP, sure. My point is they can't really lose with a loss. I think that a win is a stamp that they are credible and a stamp that they are legitimate and that they have arrived and they're not going away. A loss to me, so long as it's not a embarrassing performance, so long as they don't look like they did against the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it does much damage. I think it's a glancing blow. I don't think there's such a thing as a knockout punch or a haymaker that they can really suffer in this fight. That's the question for you guys. Do you agree with that? 800-636-1067.
Yeah, and I co-sign that. I even add, if it's a blowout, it's not going to dampen my spirits because I view this season, I view what's already happened. We are in plus territory. Like, I've sat down on my first hand of blackjack. I did the max bet, and I hit blackjack, and I got time and a half, and I've already profited like 100% in my pocket. Now I'm just playing the rest of the hands out with my little budget the rest of the way. That's how I'm viewing this. Like, this is already better than I thought. If they get destroyed because they're not quite ready for primetime, that's all that is to me. I'm still going to have plenty of fun coming up.
Maybe that's the only difference. If they get destroyed, I will view it as somewhat revealing that we all need to just hit the brakes mm-hmm. a little bit. It's been all gas around here for a month.
Yeah.
And we don't even know where the break is. I think if they get beat really handily and they just look like...
Because you know what it looks like, right?
It's a much worse version of the Ravens.
They can't get out of the huddle. It's false starts everywhere. It's just guys wide open and guys pointing and looking at each other. You know what we're used to. That kind of stuff.
Then we all just need to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Cornelius in the district on Grant and Danny.
Good
what's
job
up?
Of left How tackle, dude.
Hey, Grant and Danny. What's up, fellas, man? Thanks for taking the call, man.
Yeah, man.
I just calling that right now as I'm talking to you guys, man. I got this big old smile on my face, right? I've been a Redskins Commanders fan since 77. I done talked to you guys a couple of times before. I think the last time we talked was during the draft when I was mentioning Keon Coleman on day 2. But I haven't been back on since. But, man, we can beat Baltimore, man.
Agreed.
I'm telling you, we ain't scared of them. We ain't scared of them, man. I'm telling you, we on to something. And what's happening right now, the defense is starting to pick it up. Albeit we played Cleveland, but those teams used to, man, beat us. Let's not forget, Cleveland beat us, what, last year or year before? Kyler Murray and them people, they normally, man, put up big points on us. The defense is stepping it up. Even in Cincinnati, yeah, Joe Burrow's threw for a lot of yards and all that, but we had that bend but don't break mentality. They settled for field goals while we were getting touchdowns. And Jaden Daniels, man, I've never seen nothing like this in my life, man. I still think I'm dreaming. But you know what? I'm not dreaming. Everybody deserves to have a star. And we got us one, man. We going up in there. We not worried about no dirt. It's going to be a shootout. That's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a shootout. And I'm telling you, man, we going to beat them peoples, man. Justin Tucker, if it come down to him, it looked like his leg is dead.
Well, that was until last
week. Thank you,
buddy. You might need to go watch this past game because he kicked a big field goal from deep to get him to overtime, and then he hit a game-winning field goal this past weekend as well. But you're right. I mean, there's a little more hesitation, I think, and anxiousness as a Ravens fan if he's taking the field in a big spot. But respectfully, I would say that that also exists with Washington if Austin Seibert is trotting out there to kick a 52-yarder for the win, because he has not made a field goal beyond 45. Now, he's been perfect. He's hit everything, but he's also been asked to do very little. Like, hey, did my daughter eat all of her lunch? Yes. What did you put on her plate? Three peas and a fruit roll-up. That's a little more telling.
Mm-hmm.
He has been all chip shots all the time. I am happy that he has executed perfectly on extra points as well, which you shouldn't take for granted with the distance now from 33 that it is, but I'm not convinced yet that they've solved the kicker dilemma. I still want to see him hit something from 50-plus, because that's the knock on him, frankly, is leg strength, depth. That's why a lot of times they kick off by design to have returns. I'd like to see that in a big spot at some point before I put it in Sharpie that he's the guy.
We don't have to do it this week. We don't have to have it come down to him making a 50-plus yarder to win, but it's going to happen at some point. This is the NFL, right? But, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say I'm both excited and there are still some pondering, still some questions where we go, okay, this 3 weeks has been great, but ... what do we know? I think it's perfectly fine to ask those questions and also go, I can't wait for this. I can't wait to see how they play against Baltimore. I can't wait to see, like, it's now look forward to viewing instead of a chore, which is what it was for so long.
Well, their offense is must-see. I mean, their offense is no longer a, what down is it? Can I run to the bathroom real quick? You have to watch every snap. They're the number one offense in the NFL in terms of scoring. The Ravens are second, by the way. Mm-hmm. So bring on 1 o'clock on Sunday. Let's go to Will, who's in L.A. listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Will?
Hey, Will.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I think this is definitely a measuring stick game. I mean, you know, that's a smart team up there. Smart organization, coach, QB. They don't take opponents for granted. And they play hard pretty much every week. Every team, after they play them, knows they played them. This is an opportunity, to see exactly how good this team is.
Appreciate you,
buddy. Thanks, bud. Yeah, to me, this is less about this year for Baltimore, because they've been middling by their standards. Week one was competitive at Kansas City. Again, a couple things go differently. They could win that game. They lost it, whatever. That loss in week two to the Raiders, really unimpressive how they gave that one away. Last 3 weeks, they've won all three. But this isn't like, oh my God, I'm seeing a juggernaut. This is home field throughout the AFC postseason type stuff. But their track record, when Lamar Jackson's healthy, they win 70-some% of their games. Right?
Yeah, like, you're playing the ghost of the Ravens.
To a degree.
This is a very beatable team. They gave up 40 and should have lost to a team you beat a couple weeks ago, right? This was just yesterday, Sunday's game. Against the Bills, now they did crush them 35-10, and I give them full credit for that. That was like the one dominant signature effort they had. But the Dallas game, they had a great first half. They almost lost that game. They were lucky to hang on to that game, and then they lost to a bad Raiders team. So, I'm not scared of the Ravens by any means. I don't think they're the big bad bully on the block that everybody else does. I think they're more a 10-7, 9-8 team than they are a 13-4 team, and I think they could definitely be had. Their home game against the Raiders tells you everything you need to know, in my opinion. But it is worth noting that the last time they played in Baltimore, they beat the Bills by 25. They beat the brakes off the Bills and made Josh Allen look bad. So they still have that club in the bag. Did you notice that there was some news? There was a change to the Ravens staff today, oh, by the way.
No.
So their defense has been pretty dreadful statistically. They've gotten off to an awful start. Their defensive coordinator is a first-year guy named Zach Orr. Remember, Mike McDonald was their DC last year.
Yep.
He left and went cross-country to be the head coach in Seattle. So he is out there running the Seahawks well so far, might I add. Orr has been elevated. A lot of the defensive assistants left. He was the linebacker's assistant last year. He got promoted to defensive coordinator. He played with the Ravens from 2014 to 2016, was a second-team All-Pro his final year in 2016. He's only 32 years old, but he's the DC, the play caller. It has been a real struggle. In the building, they've been trying to help him. Sounds like players have been kind of, you know, trying to elevate him a little bit as well. They went and got Dean Pease, they announced today, to be an advisor.
Oh.
Their old defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bringing him back to basically help Zach Orr already. And Orr, at the podium, it sounded like, he spoke to someone today, I'm guessing it was a press conference, basically said, look, this guy's a Raven, he knows what we do, he knows how we play. Anyone who can kind of help us, we're all in this thing together. But this, to me, is obviously a John Harbaugh going to him going, this is not working.
Yeah, this is not what we do here.
I am not a guy that hires and fires people, but we are going to help you. So Dean Pease is coming in here. Ask as many questions as you need to, but this is not going to fly.
Yeah.
So this is the first week with Pease now in the building helping them. I'll be curious to see if that is notable on Sunday. Let's go to Neil in Fredericksburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Neil?
What's up, Grant, Danny? How you guys doing today?
Good, bro.
Hey, so first game I've ever been to was Sunday against Cleveland. That was ecstatic. I've watched numbers of games and seen how empty the stadium just felt. But Sunday, the game, the stadium was just so alive. And when it comes to Sunday against the Baltimore, I think I agree with both of you guys. If we win, we're back, we're here, we have a point to be made. If we lose, it's not going to be the end of the season. We only need to win three games to get to seven games, one, right? We only need three out of the next, what, eight games to get to seven.
But seven doesn't mean anything at this point.
Thank you, bud.
I mean, seven was considered an okay season at the beginning of the year when their over-under was 6.5. Now at 4-1, seven is a disaster. You know, seven, who cares? We only need three wins to get to seven.
You finished 3-8?
Why seven?
You don't want that.
So what? 10 is the new number you need to care about. That's what you get to the playoffs with. 11, which they haven't done around here since 1991, and obviously you have an extra game now, but I'll still just, that number, they've had several years with 17 tries and haven't gotten there. A 11-win season, which hasn't happened since I was in a diaper, gets you a division title. Those are the numbers you should be thinking about at this moment until something changes. Not 7. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Couple stories to track in the NFL this weekend outside of Washington, including the Jets and the Patriots. We'll explain why next. Will Montgomery is on the show to critique Washington's offensive line. How have they played so far this season? We'll ask the former starting center in 20 minutes on The Fan.
We need as players to take accountability for what's happened. I think that's the thing that hits you too in the moment is if I'd played better on Sunday, this doesn't happen. And as somebody who takes a lot of pride in their performance, that was the main sentiment for me yesterday.
That's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. I thought Rodgers said all of the right things. I haven't watched that interview. You heard him there. Take some ownership on his play and not being good enough, being part of the reason why Robert Saleh was fired. The Jets this weekend play the Buffalo Bills. They're 2-3. Buffalo's 3-2. If New York beats Buffalo, they're in first place by way of the tiebreaker. So they have lost two straight, but they started 2-1. Wins over the Titans and the Patriots. Very unimpressive 2-1. But losses to Denver in the rain 10-9, and then the Vikings 23-17, consecutive bad games for Rodgers. All they got to do, as they've now installed Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, as their interim head coach, Danny, is find a way to beat Buffalo, and they're in first place.
Yeah, Buffalo's not the same team they were the first couple of weeks of the season, right? Where they looked really, really good a couple times.
Now they've lost two straight by 25 points to the Ravens and then by a field goal to the Texans.
Yeah, so the things that I thought were going to happen early this season, the offense scuffling a little bit and Josh Allen having to play superhero, have happened now, right? Where they're all of a sudden not the same group they were, and that's obvious when they scored 34, 31, and 47 over the course of the first three games, there's a regression happening. So again, if there's a time to play Buffalo, it's probably right now this minute. So it just shows you how razor thin the margin is, right? And we talk about this, oh my God, they're 2-3, this is so bad. Well, if Aaron Rodgers hits Garrett Wilson, who has beaten his defender like a statue for an easy walk-in touchdown, we're talking about a 3-2 team and everyone's got great feelings, right, at this point. But of course, that's not what happened. The margin is that thin where now Saleh's out of a job and Rodgers has to give comment about it.
Yeah, and I don't know that the fix is necessarily coming because the problem's the offense And I don't know that there's a major change looming. Supposedly, Nathaniel Hackett was relieved of play calling duties the morning that Robert Saleh was fired by Robert Saleh. But the moment Saleh got fired right after that, he got his duties back. Now, Ulbrich has not commented on that. It's possible he and Saleh kind of agreed on Hackett, and maybe he names Todd Downing, who's their passing game coordinator, the play caller, and there's a change anyway. But Rodgers sounded like he was going to play nice on McAfee, said, whatever Ulbrich wants to do, I'm here to do. I'm a team guy. If he wants to make changes, he should make changes. We need to win football games. But I don't know if it's that easy behind the scenes. This is what Rodgers had to say about the notion that he was involved in getting Robert Saleh fired this week.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. And that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't. But I love Robert, and it was, one of those days yesterday.
I agree with part of what he just said, which is I think that people believe that he has more power than he does. I think the perception on the outside is that everything that they do is Rodgers' decision, and I think it's way less like that than people assume. That said, I think they fired Robert Saleh, and I think his relationship with Saleh was probably a major factor.
Yeah, I don't think it's as simple as, phone rings. Hey, Aaron, it's Woody. What do you want to do tomorrow? Do you want to want me to fire Robert Saleh? Okay, thanks. See you at practice.
He admitted that he talked to the owner the night before Saleh was fired. Do you think he advocated for the firing of Saleh?
Yes, I 100% do. I think his opinion was taken in. I think his viewpoints are known, whether he said fire this man tomorrow
That's where I'm going. I don't think he verbalized that or said anything like, we need to fire him, we need to go to Brick. Ulbrich is what they call him, Brick. Mm-hmm. I think it was honestly just a, Woody Johnson knows this guy does not like him very much.
Like, what's your opinion? And he gave it, instead of saying, it's getting better, we're about to turn the corner.
Totally.
He's like, this ain't working, this is not sustainable, and, probably knew what he was doing. I think Rodgers is nothing but calculated when it comes to these sorts of things. So I'm sure he has plausible deniability. Did you say Robert Saleh should be fired? He gets to say no, and he's probably right. He probably never said those exact words. But he also didn't go, you can't do it. You can't get rid of him. We're going to make beautiful music together. That's my guy. He didn't, Like, to me, he has a ton of power, even if he's not the person that's like standing at the podium with the decision being made. Everything is catered to him because it has to be.
The other big story in the NFL this weekend outside of the Commanders and the Ravens will be the debut of Drake May for the New England Patriots, who have lost four straight games. Doesn't it seem like forever ago that they shocked the Bengals in week one and everybody was singing the praises?
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're not as bad as we think. Maybe they're not going to be picking first overall. They won that game 16-10 with a defensive gem when the Bengals didn't have T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase had not practiced with the team yet. Joe Burrow was just coming back from injury. Since then, they lost to Seattle. They got blown out by the Jets. They got blown out by the 49ers. And they lost to a Dolphins team with Tyler Huntley making his second start in Miami in his second week there.
Yeah, they're just a low-ceiling team, right? You give them credit for a few games, they've been competitive. And they play hard, and they're trying, they're efforting.
They're bad, is what they are.
But they're bad, yeah. When somebody knows what the hell they're doing, see you San Francisco, the game's over.
I tweeted this today at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. I have now lived long enough to see Washington become New England and New England become Washington. And what I mean by that is not that the Commanders are going to win all of the Super Bowls coming up, although that would be nice. But the Commanders do things in a smart way and New England doesn't. Nothing they've done with Drake May makes sense to me at all. Frankly, nothing they've done since Belichick walked out the door makes sense. They just promoted the coach in waiting. They didn't really do a real interview process in any capacity. They didn't interview anybody from outside the building. They just said, Gerard Mayo, you're the guy. Okay, I guess. Drake May, they didn't want to play because they were afraid the offensive line can't protect him. The week that they decided, you know what? Let's actually play him. The offensive line can protect him now. Their line, which has the worst pressure rate allowed, is going to take on the Texans, who have the best pressure rate forced, and Danielle Hunter, who's leading the NFL in pressures defensively. Like, nothing they've done at any point makes any sense with what they actually say. They just seem like a real dump at this point, post Belichick. And it's not like it was a whole lot better at the end of his time there.
Yeah, there's, to me, there's no lever you can really pull. In other words, there's no receiver that's coming back from the IR that's going to give him a jolt. You're still, no matter when you put him in, it's into the situation that you just alluded to. They have the worst skill group, I think, in the sport. Between Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. Gibson's actually been playing well lately. Stevenson can't stop fumbling. But that running back tandem is fine, or even good, you would say. That's it. That's the list. They're reprehensibly bad on that side of the football. Whenever you drop Drake May in there, that's where he's going to be. 5 weeks, 10 weeks, no weeks. Just interesting to me that they go, now's the time.
I'm just glad he gets to play. But last week against Miami wouldn't have been a more favorable situation.
Seems like it would have been, right?
They just, everything they do seems weird. Will Montgomery was the longtime starting center here in D.C. with the then Redskins. We asked him to study the film on this offensive line to see what they're doing so well. We will have him on the show next right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.